الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. The roza that we have to keep in order to make it a perfect roza is roza of the eyes also, of the tongue, of the ears, the other limbs of the body, our thoughts also, and also roza of eating halal and tayyib food. That are the food that we eat also, with which we make sehri, with which we make iftari, and it is not sufficient that it must be only halal, but it must be halal and tayyiba. It must be food in which there is no doubt, and healthy, wholesome food. That is also what we have to learn to practice. And in a month of Ramadan, if we practice on that also, inshallah, for the rest of the year, it will become easy for us. It will become such that we won't even have a desire to go towards that which is not halal, or that which is doubtful, or that which is not healthy, wholesome food. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Allah addresses the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah gives them the command that they should eat كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. And yeah, Allah says, he didn't say halal, but halal is implied already. That eat of that food which is halal also, which is healthy and wholesome also. The natural effect of this will be وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, that you will make then عَمَلِ الصَّالِح. If your food is correct, you will have the tawfiq of doing عَمَلِ الصَّالِحًا. The food that we eat has a direct effect on our actions, our akhlaq, our thoughts, everything. There is a famous English saying, you are what you eat. What you eat, that is what you are. We see also, very interestingly, that the first error that was committed by Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, by the inspiration of shaitan and the instigation of Hawa, she encouraged, shaitan could not get directly through to Adam alayhi salam, he worked through Hawa alayhi salam. And when they ate of the forbidden fruit, the immediate effect was the clothes fell off them. So this is what the effect of food is. And another very important thing we see, which goes together with our eating, our whole lifestyle, our whole culture, that the first thing Adam alayhi salatu wasalam did thereafter was to cover himself. So to cover ourselves is extremely important. Immediately they started taking the leaves of Jannat and started covering themselves. So to cover the body is also a very, very important. However, the effect of that food was that the clothes fell off them. So we can see that how important it is that we eat the correct food. And in Jannat, there couldn't have been anything haram. It was Jannat, but Allah had made something haram, forbidden. Not haram, Allah forbid it. Like for the Jewish people, many things which were halal, Allah Ta'ala had forbidden it upon them because of their transgression, etc. For Adam alayhi salam, it was a test that don't eat this fruit. And so Allah Ta'ala had put that test. So when eating something which is halal, but Allah had made it forbidden, when that has that effect, then what is actually haram itself, what is actually harmful, those things Allah has made haram. So to eat that, what great effect won't they have, the bad effect won't that have on a person. So this is one thing that also we have become very, very complacent about, very negligent about, the food that we eat. It is very important that we see that we eat the right type of food. In that, there are a few things to consider. One is the money with which we buy the food must also be halal. If that is not halal, though the food is halal, but then it becomes haram for us. If a person steals some halal food, that food is haram for him. The food is halal, but because of his act of stealing it, now it is haram. A person purchases with haram money, he buys halal. One person went to a butcher and very audaciously he asked the butcher, is your meat halal? So he asked him, is your money halal? You are quite concerned whether my meat is halal, and it has to be halal. But is your money also halal? If your money is not halal, then my halal meat also will be haram for you. So therefore, we should see, and today, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, in Hazrat's time, when every effort is being made to make interest also halal. So today, what is the condition? And interest has taken on various names. So that also, and then further than that, today with so much of Islamic banking and big billboards, whether you're driving in the middle of UK or whether you come out of the airport in Karachi, wherever you see big billboards of halal, of Islamic banking. So, and Maulana Sayyid Palanpuri, who is teaching Shaykh al-Hadith in Darunum Dioban, when he visited our country recently in KwaZulu-Natal, somebody asked him about Islamic banking. So he said, just stop there and there. When it is banking, it means interest. You can put whatever epithets you want to, adjectives, call it Islamic, call it halal, call it jais, call it kosher. When it's banking, it is interest. So he says, don't even go further into that question. When it is with banking, it means interest. So today it is a time that when a person has to be so careful about his resources and the type of business that we do. Also with this, don't think that it is impossible in these days, as many people think, to live your life of less than and your desire. That may be impossible. Then it may be impossible for you to live an Islamic life. But to live an Islamic life, it is not impossible. Every person can live correctly at all times. Otherwise, na'uzubillah, we'll have to say the Quran Sharif is outdated. In this zamana, the commands of the Quran of interest, it is outdated now. So we need a new Quran. And then when Bush says this, when the other people say this, the Americans, then we make a big U and cry. But we ourselves, by our actions, we are saying also the same thing. And also from this we should remember that no condition comes upon us by the enemies, but it is a condition that we bring upon ourselves by ourselves. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You guard yourselves. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ. Those who have gone astray, they will never be able to harm you. إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. When you are on hidayat. When we ourselves have got these desires, then Allah imposes those things upon us. To understand this, one or two examples. Colonel Amiruddin was famous of the Tabligh Jamaat. He's gone very old now. When he visited Egypt at one time, he was very impressed with the Imam's recitation of the Quran. Allah has blessed the Egyptians naturally with such a voice of the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And in Egypt, which we saw ourselves also, almost every masjid has got a room outside the masjid, attached to the masjid, where the Imam sits. And the Imam comes there usually before namaz also, he sits in that room, and even after namaz. And that is a very good practice, I think. Then any person who's got anything to discuss with the Imam is not only an Imam then, for the 5 minutes he's on the Musalla, but he's a full-time Imam. So any person has to ask any question, wants to discuss anything, the Imam is there, they will go to him, they will discuss with him. And namaz is the time everyone comes to the masjid. And after namaz again, as they are leaving, somebody can come earlier, they discuss with the Imam. And otherwise, after the namaz, they go and meet with the Imam. So that, I think, is a very good practice if every masjid can have this. And the Imam is not only, he's a full-time Imam. not only for the 5 minutes on the musalla, but for every namaz, roughly about 1 hour, 3/4 hour, he's an imam. And he must have no other job. That must be his job. Besides that, if he goes and see to the aged in the community, the people who are ill in the community, all the time. That is really, and if the imam is of that caliber, and he, that position is upheld in that way, he will do a tremendous service. Every imam in his community will be a real imam, a real leader then. And everything will be attached to the imam. Anyway, Colonel Amiruddin went to that room then after the namaz, he wanted to meet the imam. So he asked for the imam. So the imam said, I'm the imam. So he says, no, the imam who led the namaz. So he says, I am the one who led the namaz. He says, no, the imam who had a beard, a full proper sunnat beard. Then he pointed to the wall, the way it was hanging, a wig. It may be like a joke to us, but that is the condition. If that is the condition, when we don't want to keep the beards, then the time came when the Egyptian government passed a law that whoever is in civil service is not allowed to keep a beard. So what is within us, that is what Allah imposes upon us. And if we want Islam to come alive in the world, we don't have to say the Muslim leaders are bad and they must come right. We don't have to say America and UK or the other are the enemies of Islam. We have to come right. If we from our heart desire Islam, and in our public and private life, in our lives, our families' lives, we bring Islam, then Allah will impose Islam upon us. And that is in the Quran Sharif. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. That Allah will give you istikhlaf fil ard. When will that? That وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Those who have brought iman and amal saliha, from those righteous people, minkum, those people Allah has promised who bring this Islamic world. لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلِفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ وَلِيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ. That deen, that way of life which you want, Allah will make the tamkeen of it. Allah will impose that upon you. Allah will give you that life. لَيُمَكِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي ارْتَضَى لَهُمْ وَلِيُبَدِّلَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِمْ أَمْنًا. And what must you do for that? يَعْبُدُونَنِي لَا يُشْرِكُونَ بِي شَيْئًا. Make Allah's ibadat as it is supposed to be, in completeness. Allah will bring that way of life. Really, it isn't. As far as sabab and means is concerned, we'll have to make that effort. But the bigger effort is not for us to bring Islam in the world. The bigger effort is to bring Islam within ourselves. Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib, Damat Barakatum, says that we all want in the Pakistan a lot of nara slogans that people shout, that Islam Zindabad, bring Islam in Pakistan, etc. He says you want Islam in the country, you want Islam in the world, you want Islami Khilafat, but in your 1.5 meter body you can't bring Islam. You can't bring Islam in your eyes, you can't bring Islam in your tongue, you can't bring Islam in your clothes, but you are crying and seeing dreams of Islam in the world. So much your government is over your own body, that you are the ruler there, you the president of your own body, but here you couldn't bring Islam, but you are crying for Islam in the whole world. So we have to bring Islam, the true Islam, within us first. So when we will do this, then Allah tabaraka ta'ala will bring this, will bring deen in the world. It depends on what the desires of the people are. And also another example of this, when I was teaching previously, before I came to Azadgarh, in a maktab, the madrasa time should start at 2 o'clock, but it was a common practice, the ustad should sit outside and talk till about 3, 3:15, 3:30. That was open khiyanat. You are being paid to teach from 2 o'clock. and you are having your own meetings, discussions, and not anything to do with the madrasa, just a passing time. And unfortunately, there is also a common thing. So then what happened? And then they, it was imposed that in school they'll have extra you know, curriculum, all other sports, etc., all those things. Then we blame them for it. But it is our own doing. What we do ourselves, Allah imposes that law upon us. Okay? There are those insects that had wings, but they never used them. Afterwards, they started being born without wings. So what Allah has given us, our capabilities, if we use it in the right, Allah increases it. When we don't use those things, Allah Ta'ala deprives us of those things. We see the buzurgs of the past, the ulama of the past, what qualities they had. But when we were not using them, then today we are deprived of those things. We don't have those qualities. So therefore, in all our matters, where we should see that what we want, Allah Ta'ala will bring that. So even today, to live a proper lifestyle, if we want to live a proper Islamic lifestyle, Allah will make it easy for us. But when we don't want to, we want from our heart, somehow interest must be sanctioned. It must be, you just call it kosher, just call it by any other name, then Allah brings such a system upon us. And then that is what Allah imposes then upon us. Similarly with food, if we don't want to eat the good healthy food, Allah takes it away from us. Just like today, we find that to eat natural, good, healthy things is very difficult to find. When we opt for the other things, that is what Allah gives us. When our desires are like that, and we want all the other things, then Allah imposes that type of a life upon us. So the real thing is that we, the individual, has to come right. After all, Islam started with who? What one person? Hazrat Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought full Islam into himself. Then this Islam spread to all the other people. And today, when we don't want to bring Islam into us and we want to impose it on our families, many, many places we hear the complaint. For example, the wife will say, "Whole of Islam is only for me. It's not for him." For him, only Islam is so much share that he must just lecture all the time. That is the only share of Islam within him, that he must give us lectures on Islam. We have to make a great effort to bring Islam within ourselves. But of course, it is our duty also to teach, to propagate also, and even if we are not practicing, to tell others. But the effect will really fall when we ourselves will practice. It is famous about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. An old lady came to him and asked him to advise her little child or grandchild that he must not eat molasses gur, which is very sweet. It causes sugar then, and children like sweet things. So like, for example, sweets in our time. She came and said, advise the child not to eat so much sweets. So Imam Sahib told, come back again tomorrow. So the next day when they came back, he just told the child, see, don't eat sweets. So they finished and he stopped eating. So the old lady said, that this you could have told him yesterday, why you gave me the trouble again? He said, I was also in the habit of eating it. And it won't have the desired effect. If I am eating and I tell the child, I stopped also, and then it will have an effect. We all know that to drink water during meals, it's a sort of a natural thing. It's very hard to abstain from having a water. And in this zamana, water is out of the question. It doesn't even come under the dasturkhan. Now it is all, not even juices, only cold drinks. And you hardly start your meals, and they will ask what drink you want. And they'll start opening the drinks and put the drinks on the table. So once we were having meals, it was a walima dawat in Palm Ridge, and Maulana Ayyub Kachwi, my colleague also, senior than me, we taught together. At that time, while we were eating, he told me in such a sound and such a voice, he told me, he says, Maulana, khane ke darmiyan aap pani na piya kijiye. Aapki sehat bahut achhi rahegi. While eating, don't drink water, your health will remain very good. That once he told me, and since then, till today, it's easily 7-8 years. Alhamdulillah, I don't even now, at the beginning, still it was a mujahada, but now not even a desire to have that water, to drink that water or any liquid, cold liquid. So if a person is practicing himself, it has a great effect on a person. And while we are on that subject, this is also to do with our eating habits, which is a very important aspect of our deen and our lives, our eating habits. While eating, a person should avoid anything cold. The reason, the hakims say that at least half an hour before meals, and if it can be more, even better, an hour, and half an hour after meals, minimum, and during meals, don't have anything cold. Don't have any liquid or anything cold. And the reason for that is when a person eats, when he starts eating, before eating, Allah's system operates already. When a person just gets the smell of the food, then already you'll see automatically the saliva builds in your mouth. We think because we are desirous, we are listening for that food. We are desirous for that. And Allah's system is for that food to be digested, that saliva of the mouth, the spit in the mouth is absolutely essential. It helps tremendously. So automatically when you want to eat, the saliva starts building. And if you just talk of anything, you see already the saliva building. Or any nice food, you talk of biryani, of pulao, of korma, of any desserts, already you feel that in your mouth. So it is because the thought comes and this starts building, so that the food can be digested. Further, when you eat, the correct way to eat is with the hands, with the fingers. We say hands, but we don't eat with our hands, but we mean fingers. And in there also, I'll divert again a little bit. When Allama Kawthari of Azhar of Egypt visited Darul Uloom Dioban, that was the zamana of Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh. When they sat to eat, so Allama Kawthari, there they are used to eating with the spoon and fork. So he told Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri, rahmatullah alayh, he used the spoon and fork to eat. So he told him that Allah has given me my fork. If you see your four fingers, this is a fork. And the fork has also got that four thongs. So I've got a natural fork. And my fork is better than your fork in four ways. That first of all, he says, my fork can feel the temperature of the food. If you get burned on your fingers, it is not that much as if you have to put hot food in your mouth. So my fork can feel the temperature, your fork cannot feel the temperature. The second thing is that my fork, when I start, if my fork has to hit against my teeth, I don't feel any pain or anything. But if your fork has to hit against the bone, against the gums, against the teeth, what an effect it will have. The third thing is that my fork, I can bend it as I want to. Your fork can't be bent in any way. And the fourth thing is that my fork gives off a certain fluid which helps to digest the food. Your fork can't do that. And besides that, in this zamana, which is called of so much of hygiene, though it is so unhygienic, but it is called a very hygienic zamana. Everyone is worried about every cleanliness and about hygiene. So if somebody else washed your fork, you don't know how they washed it. But your own fork that you wash yourself, you are 100% sure what your fork is like. So Allah Ta'ala has given us, every person Allah has given us our own fork. So it gives off a fluid also, and therefore it is sunnat also. And the Hakim Chaughatai, who has written a kitab, Sunnat-e-Nabawi or Jadid Science, all the sunnats of Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he has proven through modern scientific research, how every sunnat is the most perfect and the most ideal. And of course, he has done it according to what research he had at his disposal, according to his knowledge. But the truth is, what sunnats are, no man can comprehend also. And from there understand every faraz, hukam, command of Allah, He has proven sunnah from science. But every command of Allah is the ideal, the most perfect, the most correct thing for our dunya's goodness also. Besides what it is, the religious aspect, the ruhaniyat, what it will give us in akhirah, and in dunya what that ruhaniyat will give us. But to live in the most ideal, perfect life is 1,000,000% in conformity with Allah's laws and with the sunnats of Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And coming down further then, with the present tariqah of the buzurgs of the time. That is the most ideal way of to live a person's life. So, Jazakumullah. So the water we shouldn't have. So anyway, the reasoning behind that is when a person wants to eat first, the fluid in the fingers, in the mouth, it gets into the stomach, and then the body builds up heat, the stomach, in order to digest that food. Like if you have your engine of the car also. You can't just start it and start revving it. It gradually, it grows up. The heat of it, it has to be there. So the heat of the body, of the stomach, that digests the food. And when a person drinks something cold, any liquid, a cold liquid, that now dampens the heat of the engine, of the stomach. So it won't digest the food properly. Further, that is if it's water, and if it's cold water, and we want iced water, then even more it dampens it. And even worse, and this is the research of an American doctor, that the fizzy drinks, or carbonated drinks, or soft drinks, or cold drinks as we call them in South Africa, these, the gas that it has got in it, a laboratory in India, that had diagnosed and analyzed all the contents of cold drinks, generally of cold drinks, found that the gas is there, it freezes the stomach to below zero. So then that food, it doesn't get digested at all. It is the worst thing a person can do for himself. And when a person eats food, for what he eats it, for the nourishment. Now because the stomach, the stomach has got a purpose there. It has to take out all the good of the food, which is always a small percentage. The majority of it is waste, which we go to the toilet and it comes out, either in urine or in stool. But the majority of it goes out. The actual benefit of the stomach, of the body, is very little. Just like you see many small children, when they eat and they swallow, like for example mealies or something they are eating in the stool, it comes out whole. The body didn't take any benefit of it. As it went in, it just passed through, that's all. But the body that was supposed to get that benefit, that is again another aspect, just let me go into that again, that when we eat also, there is an art, and a person has to learn to eat also. And for that, for example, first of all, we should eat with our fingers. Wash our hands first. The greatest antiseptic is water. A person washes his hands, all the germs, they will go away. It's the greatest antiseptic. Now when you start eating, and it goes in the mouth, chewing is very, very important, to chew correctly. And for that, if we see how Allah has made the structure of the teeth, that it was the ideal thing. The front teeth are sharp in order to bite, etc. Then you have the incisors. That is for eating meat, when you break off meat pieces. And then the rest of the other teeth are the molars, which are like like mallets or hammers, which crush. All the back teeth are flat, because they have to crush the food. So first bite the food as it goes, chew it properly, crush it properly. A person says that you must eat, chew your water, and eat, no. Anyway, what it means is that you must crush that food properly. That we eat very quickly today, man hasn't got time to eat also. And this is the height of our folly, that we have got all the time to earn. But the purpose of earning is now to eat, and we got no time to eat. And today it is a status thing that I didn't have time for my lunch also. I was so busy, I didn't have time for my lunch. And it's a status thing. While I was driving, I had my lunch. We all, you driving to make money. You're going here, you're going there. And for what is the money? You can't even use it for your own self. So how stupid, isn't it? Our Shaykh, Ahmed Barakatum, quite a few occasions, Hazrat told a few wealthy people when they were with him, paise banana tum jante ho. You pull na how to make money. Paise kaise istemal karna tum log nahi jante. But you don't know how to use your money. You haven't got time for even to use it for yourself. Once when Hazrat was in our country, he went to somebody in his business and he had 6 telephones there. And this one ringing, that one ringing, he didn't even attend to Hazrat. He was too busy with all his telephones. Afterwards Hazrat said, Toba aisi rozi se. I seek Allah's protection from such rozi. Ye to bandar wali rozi hai. There is a rozi of monkeys. Like a monkey jumping from one to branch to another, going here, going there, going there. This, from this telephone to that telephone to that telephone. He says, what is this? Similarly, today we regard it as a prestigious thing that I'm jet setting. Now going to this country for business. Now I hardly return, going to another country, and I got my booking ready for another country, all to make money. You haven't got time for your family, you haven't got time for your children, you haven't got time for yourself. What is this? Eh? If you go to the fowl run and you give rosy to the fowls in the hawk, in the fowl run. One is you can take the mealies and you throw it around. Now they're all running around here. And one is you put it one place and they come and eat it at one place. So Allah gives you a rosy, it comes in the hadith. Very fortunate is that person, Mubarak and blessed, whose rosy and his house and workplace are close, are near one another. That they don't have to go yet. Today people are traveling, without exaggeration, 150 kilometers every morning, every evening. When they're traveling in the morning, they're driving in the sun. The sun is hitting them right in their eyes. When they return in the afternoon, the sun is on the other direction, hitting them right in the eyes. 300 kilometers, minimum 3 hours. Eh? And that's traffic time, so it's much more than 3 hours. You're on the road, you're on the work. When have you got time for yourself? When you, and these are the status things today. The way I have to travel and the way I have to work. And one is Allah gives you rosy, all just one place. You hardly have to work for it. When people, Hazrat Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, went to a masjid to make namaz, there was a Bedouin, a village man, Badu, outside. He told him, look after my animal while I'm making namaz. So there was a precious stone on the animal, he stole it. So Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came, he noticed it. He says, I wanted to give you so much money, but you stole it. So rozi is fixed by Allah. It depends on us, we take it in the halal way or we take it in the haram way. So that is a thing which is fixed by Allah ta'ala. So this going out of our way. Also, if you have a 200 liter drum, and how much will you get out of that drum? 200 liters. If you put one tap on it, how much will you get out? And if you put 10 taps, then you get 2,000 liters. Still you'll get the same amount. What rosy is fixed, you have one shop, you have 10 shops. How much is fixed for you, that amount you are going to get. So what Allah is going to give us, that is fixed, to earn it the halal way. So anyway, so the food we should chew properly. Then the intestines, there are two intestines, a small intestine and the big intestine. And the intestines also further, they have got that work. There is a computer system of Allah which is put there. And what a computer system of Allah Ta'ala. You got a headache, so what is the right thing to do? To take a tablet or something, rub on your head. But the headache is in your head, where you put the tablet? In your stomach, in your mouth. And from here, where it's going to your head? No, it's going to the stomach. The stomach's work will be now to analyze it and to send the effect where it has to be. You got your toes paining. You take a painkiller. Where you take the painkiller? In your mouth. It goes to your stomach. The stomach's work then is to analyze it. Allah has put a fantastic computer system in the stomach long before man even knew the word computer. And it's working all the time. But for it to work properly, so if we ate that food properly, and then we allow it slowly, we eat it, it goes to the small intestines. Today you go to doctors, you ask them, this capsule, it's made of gelatin, anything else, haram. I can't have it, I'll open the capsule and drink it. They say it won't have the effect. It has to go either to the small intestine or the big intestine, there it opens up, then it will have the effect. So you'll have to have a capsule, you have to look for a halal capsule. But if you want to crush it and have it, it's not going to have its effect. So when all these things, it works on its places. So therefore, it is so essential that our eating. Another thing while we are eating, which is also absolutely important, and our Shaykh, Jazahumullah Khair, again I will say this is why we have become diehards of our Shaykh. He has taught us that when eating, don't have any talk about any news which is said, which is harmful, which is frightening, which is terrorizing, anything. No news like that. While you are eating, you must be light-hearted. And today our system is, till the newspaper is not there, we're looking at the newspaper and we're having our breakfast. Or the radio is on, or the TV is on, we are watching it. And what's in the news today? Murder, rape, killings here, mass killings in that place, wars all the time. Those are the headlines of the news. So without you realizing it, your body cringes when it hears this. If it has directly to do something with you personally, but today man has grown so immune, we hear about these murders, it means nothing to us. We are not like Mullah Muhammad Umar, who started the Taliban movement. How did he start it? It was when in his town, Kandahar, when the warlords, they used to abuse women terribly, and they used to abuse children also terribly. And when he came to know, he could not tolerate it. He said, how can this be allowed to happen? And then he started off, the initial stages of the Taliban was something just like Pagad, fighting against gangsterism and drugs and these things, to fight against these people. Then he came to a stage, which we'll come to that, discuss that detail, when now he became that now this is not only in Kandahar, it is in the whole of Afghanistan. When he went on further, and at that time in Kandahar, till today, is the kurta of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he went and he took the barakat of this kurta. Then he started his jihad mission. And he went to the rest of Afghanistan. That we will discuss if Allah wishes when we come on to clothing. But today we have grown so immune. We hear about people being killed, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. Today how women are abused, how children are abused, small children, but it means nothing to us. Today news has just become a pastime for us. It doesn't have any effect on our body. If we had little bit of conscience, then we should say, how can we allow these things to happen? Whether they are people in rural areas, whether they are people in the cities, they are Muslims, but people, how can they live? We haven't got that. But so we listen to this news, it doesn't move us to anything. But still, subconsciously, it has an effect on the body. And the body cringes. So then also, when we drink these cold things, the stomach cannot have the proper effect. Similarly, when we hear this news, the stomach doesn't work properly. And all that food just goes out as waste. The body didn't get the benefit of that food. So if we eat properly, then the body will get the proper benefit of that food. And while we are on that subject also, while eating in between, we should say Ya Wajidu, which is the name of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah's name, always take it with respect and honor. So, Jalla Jalaluhu, Ta'ala Shanuhu, any such words of the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. When we read those words, that food won't only be physical, bodily food. It will be spiritual food also. When a person reads Ya Wajidu, that food becomes nur by which you get that power to make ibadat and to do good things. Otherwise, your food, an animal also eats food, a non-believer also eats food, a Muslim also eats food, then that food is only for the body. But just by reading Ya Wajidu occasionally, that food becomes noor by which you get spiritual strength. Now it wasn't only bodily food, you got strength for your body, but it has become spiritual food also. And then you will notice that your inclination towards ibadat becomes easy, and also you will notice that you can make more ibadat which you thought was beyond me, that tahajjud is out of the question for me. And with this food, you'll get the tawfiq to keep rozas. After all, sehri we eat to give us strength. And if you eat the spiritual food, you'll see that not only your faraz rozas of Ramzan, 6 rozas of Shawwal, 2 rozas a week, Monday, Thursday, 3 rozas a month, Ayyam-e Bid, the middle days of the Islamic month, all this will become easy for you. Many, many more things, but when we have that spiritual food. So therefore, we should see that the money with which we buy our food is halal. The food which we are eating is not only halal, it is tayyib also. And then further, read Ya Wajid also. Eat the food correctly also. Chew the food properly. And avoid any of these drinks while having food. And what is good with the food, if a person at the end or during the meal, if he has hot tea, that is not harmful, because it's hot. And in fact, according to, well, that is their finding, the Japanese, it is their habit, they have hot tea with their food. And the scientific finding of late is that it helps to remove the fat, which is called cholesterol now, from the arteries, etc. It clears all the path if you have hot food. I remember very clearly, my mother-in-law, marhuma, whenever we had sticky food, any food with more ghee, etc., she insisted that we should have a hot cup of tea after that, because then it washes away all that. So if you have a hot cup of tea, but today tea is taboo, with only all the fizzy drinks, that means a lot. And in fact, drinks, as I explained, carbonated drinks, our cold drinks, what we call, they freeze the stomach. But today a person has to have 7-Up and Sprite. And that also very ice and chilled. And then he takes a nice belch and he says, my food has now become, and he rubs his hand nicely on his stomach also, that now my food has become digested. It is that thing that causes, it's not your food that got digested, the gas of that cold drink. That is the thing that has come out. It's not your food that got digested, you thinking that my food got digested. It was the gas that has come out. So that is also a very, very important aspect. Anyway, as far as the food is concerned, that we have to eat halalan and tayyiban. Many places of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala has emphasized this thoroughly. One time, Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali in Lanesia was having a majlis. It was a Sunday, very big crowd. And he said that all people usually just say that Maulvis only talk of namaz, roza, zakat, all these things. He says, let us talk of food today. That people like food, so let us talk about food. And then Hazrat explained his whole bayan on this, how important it is to eat the correct food. And this food which has to be halal also. And in halal, today halal certificates have become commercialized also. And many people might not like it, but without any reservation, as far as all these matters are concerned, what Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Sahib writes in his majlis is 100% correct. People, unfortunately, ulama also make a joke out of him. And they say that where can you live a life like that? But his teachings are the 100% correct teachings. On that, one friend of ours, an imam of a masjid, very good friend of ours, and he used to be proud of having a whole liter of Coke at his breakfast, lunch, supper, besides that also. He passed away at a young age, Allah grant him Jannah. And he was a very nice person. Towards the end, when we visited him, then he already had started running 2 kilometers, but it was too late. It didn't help him. He took off his topi and he showed a big size of sweet melon, a big hole here. He says, there is all the coke that has caused this. The coke has destroyed me completely. So he realized it, but when it was too late. one person, a mufti, one time when they were talking about coke, he made a big joke about it. And he said, yeah, see, I drink. When people had doubts that whether it is permissible or not, I am drinking, what is wrong with it? And by the time came when he lost his eyesight also. And all because of the coke. The amount of sugar in the coke is from the bark of a tree which is extremely bitter. In order to make it acceptable, palatable to the body, the amount of sugar that has to be added. Like that we will be very particular that I don't have to, don't put sugar in my tea. It's not good for me. But then you're drinking your cold drinks, whichever cold drink, and Coke particularly. Then after that Pepsi, all the others, they've got so much of sugar in them. And these things totally destroy us. And this research has come up over and over again. Lately, the university in Jordan have printed their finding that Coke has got from the intestines of the swine, of the pig. From there, things are put into the Coke. And in fact, all cold drinks have got something which is not correct in it. So, and there is one person, a Hindu of India, who made research on this. And in fact, in one talk of his, just like we, when we make bay'at, he's a Hindu. If he doesn't give his name, you'll think he's a Muslim. Like we make bay'at and we say that I promise to make my namazes, to give zakat, etc. The first thing he told in there, and there were girls also in that gathering, from the cassette you can make out. So he's telling them that you must use the female in Urdu, in Hindi also. Like, main vaada karta hu for a man. A woman will say, main vaada karti hu. So he says, when the woman speak, they must use the female words. So the first thing he said, from this moment when I go to my room, in a university he's talking, I'll disconnect my TV. The second thing he said, from today I won't drink any more cold drinks. Any cold drinks, a Hindu is saying, the amount of harm that is in it. He says he gave the cold drinks for analysis to a laboratory. Besides poison, nothing else is in the cold drink. It is only harmful for the body. The enemy of Islam, what have they given to the people, the West? Cigarettes. What is good in cigarettes? They gave them drugs. They gave them alcohol. They gave them the cold drinks. They gave them the nightlife of casinos and of nightclubs, etc. What good did they give to people? Total destruction. But unfortunately, we don't understand, we don't realize, and we go headlong into this destruction. So this cold drink is very, very harmful. And especially during meals, it is even worse, much more worse. If any person can do any good to himself, he will avoid it. And he will see for himself the goodness that will abound to him. And the money also he'll save. A person stops smoking. How much of money? If you work out, if you just smoke 10 cigarettes a day, which is a very reasonable amount, that is a very cautious smoker, 5 or 10 cigarettes. Otherwise, people who just one cigarette finish, start with the next one. That one finish, the next one. Then you work it out in a day how much you are spending. And these people and these things are such that they will make you sell. When a partition of India and Pakistan, on the steps of Delhi, Jami Masjid, refugees came. By the thousands, people were gathered there. One person sold his mother for a cigarette. And just to get his cigarette, he gave his mother to have sex with somebody just to get a cigarette. And so these are those things that morally, health-wise, religious-wise, they will totally destroy a person. And if our mujahada can't be to that much that we can't stop from these things, then we are right in the lap of shaitan. The way we're thinking of other big mujahada and thinking of being big awliya and sufis, we can't control on these small things. Then where are we going to control if shaitan is going to attack us? If nafs is going to attack us when we are playing right into their hands all the time? So there is a very important subject also, the proper lifestyle generally. And lifestyle is not a word that has been coined by the West. And for your information, go and read the Jewish protocols. They wrote there clearly, they'll bring all the bad habits in people, and then again they'll come with the right habits. Now they're talking of the right lifestyle, right eating habits. First they spoil your habits. And then, for spoiling your habits, they main idea, sucking money from you. Now, today, if you want to eat good, healthy food, it's very expensive, which was a natural, cheap way. But now, if you want the original food, you have to pay so much more. So they'll bring that back, but again at a higher cost. And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our deen has taught us direct way, not going via through all these things. Nobody wants to go through Jahannam to get to Jannah, but here we are happily going through. Like what he said, what is democracy? Diplomacy. What is diplomacy? To send somebody to hell in such a way that he looks forward to the journey. This is, so today we're looking forward to all these things. And we're going through all Jahannam through these things. This Jahannam of this dunya we're going through. And well, if we will speak upon that, this cancer. Hey, what is this? All these things. But what does it solicit from many of us? Just a smile. What he's talking about. And when people get into these problems, now you just have to pity them. At that time you can't tell them you brought it upon yourself. How many things I know of our family of people that what they have brought upon themselves in eating habits and how we have destroyed ourselves. But, oh, Majlis man, what he knows? He only knows haram. He knows only ulama is su. He knows only this is wrong, that is wrong. He only knows this. But we destroying ourselves in the process. We don't realize. And what is in akhirat? Allah Ta'ala save us. That when these things become into us, our habits have become, our thoughts, our akhlaq, our desires have become so terrible. Today many of us wonder that why this terrible desires. See what we eat. May Allah give us tawfiq and guide us to righteousness and to the natural correct way of Allah Ta'ala, the way of Islam. May Allah give us tawfiq.